Welcome back to episode 137 of Chess Journeys, Tales of Adult Improvement. Here in Chess Journeys, we love to go after the glories of rating game, but we also like to dive into the more normal plateaus and sometimes even the pits of despair below that. If you want to support the show, you can go to Patreon Chess Journey. And I want to thank our queen level supporters, Mike Robeshi, Blundergo, Tim Everett, Scott D4B6, Joe, Matt Bush, Jay Garrison, Donna Rich Burgess, Brandon Hallside, Jeff Peterson, Tobias Rex, Bob Berger, Nicholas Harrigan, Rich, Bradley Fenner, Fletcher Ray, Nathan Peterson, Christian Glaw, and King level supporter, Ian Samples. If you want to appear on the show, you can fill out the Google notes and the show notes. We do all want to hear your story. You can also DM me on Twitter. That's a great way to do it. If you're interested in learning more about chess, I've got two good options for you today. One, Noel Studer's Next Level Training Program. You can use the code in the show notes below to support the show to get a discount. And also, I've been streaming a lot of calculation puzzles from the chess gym quite a bit lately. And if you want to join the gym, I've included a link there that you can use that will once again support the show. And today, I bring on Rachel. She's a college student, a cognitive science major. She's a dedicated chess improver, and she's recently started streaming chess. So, Rachel, she does it all. Rachel, welcome to the show. Have you had a chance to play any chess yet today?
Thank you. I have done a couple puzzles today, and that's it so far.
Okay. All right. And I guess my first question for you is, do you try to play games every day, or do you just work it into your schedule when you're able to?
Well, now that I started streaming, I didn't play online too much. It was mostly like puzzles and like just, yeah, like tournament prep more so. But now that I stream, I try to stream definitely at least once a week, and usually like each stream is 4 hours. So when I stream, that like is my online playing time. So I don't play as much as I would like to outside of that online. I do go to chess club like at school and stuff. And then there's outside of school, there's a bunch of chess clubs, obviously, around LA. But yeah, most of my online games are on stream now.
Okay. So most of your online stuff is on stream. How many days a week would you say you're able to get in over the board chess then?
It really depends. On how my week is going, like how much homework I have and stuff like that. Chess club at my school is twice a week. There are a couple other clubs that run once a week that I like to go to. I studied abroad in Europe in the fall, and I just got back in January. So I'm slightly just recouping and getting my life back on track. But yeah, at least once a week, okay. I get some over the board.
That's very cool. Okay. And are these like tournaments, or is it mostly just like a club, you're hanging out, you're playing games?
Whatever I feel like. There's a lot of options in LA. I mean, since I've been back, it's just been like free blitz for fun. But I've definitely done like nightly tournaments, like one night a week, or you know, like a Saturday all day tournament or something like that.
Okay, that's cool. And I remember seeing you at the, I don't even know the name of it, the Las Vegas tournament at the end of December. So was that like right after you got back from Europe?
Yeah, that was like 2 days after, so I was still super jet lagged. I was on the fence about going. I was like, but that's like my favorite tournament, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's my favorite as well. I mainly got introduced to you by you beating my friend. So like I was checking in on your game a lot because you were playing my friend. I was just watching him. I was like, wait a second, is he going to lose this? Like, I thought he had a pretty good position, but you got him.
Okay, you look, I was going to say, you look a little bit familiar. I wasn't really sure why, but I was like, I'm sure I've probably seen you at some sort of chess thing somewhere.
Okay, I was definitely someone lurking over that one game. You're probably like, why does this guy keep coming over here? What is happening with him?
I don't know. I didn't notice. Maybe you were behind me. So, yeah.
Good, good. I try not to bother people while they're playing. So,
yeah.
Okay. So you get some chess in over the board every week. It sounds like you're playing some online on stream. 4 hour sessions, by the way. That sounds very grueling. So congratulations.
Yeah, my online rating has tanked since I started streaming. Just because it's hard to navigate, like talking and like reading the chat. And so hopefully, I'm sure at some point it'll start to go back up.
Yeah, I hear that one. I just stopped playing rated rapid games while streaming because I actually care about that rating. And so I was like, all right, here's the new plan. I'm just not doing that. I'll play all the rated Blitz you want because I don't care about that rating. And I'll play unrated Rapid, but I'm not playing rated a rating I care.
Fair enough.
Okay. So did you play it all as a kid or did you just start as an adult?
Yeah, I played, it's a funny story. Neither of my parents play chess, but I was just like hanging out with one of my good friends. We were bored and he was like, oh, do you want to play this game? You know, like just takes out a board game and turns out to be chess. And then he like shows me this pin or something. And I thought it was really cool. And I was doing gymnastics at the time. And I guess there was like a little chess class on the floor above. And I saw a flyer on the front door. It was like chess above. And then my friend's name was Mark. And I was like, I told my dad, I was like, oh, Mark showed me that game. That's so cool. Can we take lessons? So then I end up quitting gymnastics to do chess. And cause I was super into it. Okay. And I played in some tournaments actually, like late elementary school, early middle school, but it was just like a couple years, like fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And then I stopped for a long time and then I picked it up again in college.
Okay. So you did the elementary school scholastic chess scene.
Yes, I definitely did. Yeah.
Okay. My daughter's doing it now. It is a wild place. There are a lot of really strong emotions that happen.
Oh yeah.
Parents are all over the place.
Yeah. And now I teach classes like pretty much every day of the week. I teach like after school elementary chess classes. So the roles are flipped now.
Okay. And that's really
It's nice like having done that on their side. So I remember what it was like.
Yeah. You can appreciate it more.
Yeah.
It's funny. My daughter is in one of those programs and she beat the teacher recently. And he pulled out one of those, like, I was really distracted. That's the only reason you beat me.
Yeah. No, I love to do, like at the end of the lesson, I love to do like one kid will play me and everyone else will gather around and I'll give them like however much time, like 5, 10 or 15 minutes. And then I'll have 1 minute. And then they're like so amazed when I just like blitz out every move in like a second. They're like, how do you still have 50 seconds left? And then I usually wait. Like, I mean, it depends on what week it is. But as it gets later on, I'll maybe wait till there's like less than 10 seconds before mating. And then they all are freaking out. They're like, oh my God, you got it, you got it. So it's a high energy. It's fun. And the kids like love to go. And that's like the first thing they tell their parent, which is good for me.
That's cool. That's fun. Yeah. I did I did it in Orange County, the school programs, for like 2 years or so. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So you played this kid. I'm curious, how successful were you as a kid? Were you like a prodigy? Like, what are we looking at here?
So I played, there was like a weekly Thursday night tournament. And I mean, looking back, I think that like, the people playing, like a lot of them were older and like somewhat washed. but I got to like the 1500s, or I got to 1500 something, like high 1500s in elementary school, like really fast, which was like, yeah, it was cool. And then I had this other friend named Ruby and we were like the dynamic duo who did all the chess stuff together. And then we had a falling out and she stopped playing chess. And then when it was just me, it was like, harder socially, and then like especially that age, so that was like a big thing that, you know, I was doing other things too and I was just like not enjoying it as much anymore.
Gotcha. So it wasn't like you hit some wall in your chess improvement, it was more like the social aspect, losing your chess friend, middle school drama stuff, all that kind of stuff.
And there was a lot of other things going on and I just like felt that it wasn't as worth it.
So do you sometimes regret the fact that you're not the world champion like you obviously were about to be?
No, I think that the things I did said were okay, but you know, like as I got older, I realized that like I didn't quit because I didn't like the game. Like I really, really loved the game. It was just like other factors. And then you know, of course I had some regret. I was like, oh, I should have kept playing. I would be much better now if I could play instead of taking like a 6-7 year hiatus. So then I needed a job in high school. And I was like, you know, I like was looking for chess, just like any kind of job, like some skill set, maybe something that paid more than minimum wage. And then I got like a job through a company called Chess Wizards. And then I just started it was during COVID. I started teaching a bunch of chess like online, and then once it went back in person, I started teaching in person, and then that's like how I kind of started getting back into it. And then I had a friend who I became friends with during COVID who like was similar to me, and then we went to a tournament together, and then like I started going to tournaments, and then
oh, that's cool.
Now I'm here.
Okay, so like you start teaching chess, are you playing at all online, or are you just like, this is just a job, it's just a job that pays more than the minimum wage because I'm pretty decent at this thing?
It was weird. I mostly just was teaching. The online chess honestly was like a pretty recent thing for me. Like it was mostly like once I started getting back into chess, it was like still mostly in person. Or I would do like puzzles or like chessable courses or like books even. But for some reason I didn't play too much online until I started streaming really.
Okay. So it sounds like you're into chess. You're trying to improve your chess, but then you're not playing. Why? I'm curious. Why?
I mean, I would play a lot over the board. I don't know. Okay. I really like playing over the board. And I like playing like with people, when there's a lot of people, and like,
that makes
you know, I'd have like friend groups and we would just play like all day, and that would be really fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was like a mindset shift, I guess. I could play like all the chess in person and just like feel great. But I think that like if I had a lot of work to do, like homework or something like that, or just other things I had to do when I was playing online, I almost like felt bad. I get like I should be doing something else. Obviously now I have a completely different mentality about it, but that's how it was for a long time.
I hear you. I mean, I almost always have a backlog of grading to do. And there are many times when I fire up a Blitz game and I'm like, you know what you should be doing right now?
Yeah.
Grading those dang papers. What are you doing?
Now I just unapologetically play Blitz in class. And I'm like, okay.
Nice. Okay. You're in college. I support that. In high school, I got to stop the kids. It's so funny because whenever I catch a kid playing chess, they're like, you love chess. And I'm like, true, but this is not the right place to do it.
Right.
Okay. So it sounds like you just really like over the board chess. You've had a lot of over the board chess in your life, and so you haven't really needed to play on the online.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think this comes from your childhood? Like, did you play as a kid almost exclusively over the board, or did you have like Chess Kid or anything like that?
Yeah, I played like exclusively over the board, I think.
Okay.
Mostly. Like they would give us like worksheets and stuff, and I would like literally like pen and paper it. I don't remember. I don't have too many memories playing online.
Okay.
Now that I think about it. Yeah. It's weird.
That's how my 9-year-old is. She loves over the board chess. She will play a lot of over the board, but as soon as it's like, hey, you want to play like a rapid game on Chess Kit or something? She's like, nah, I don't. That doesn't interest me. I just want to play over the board, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll take over the board any day. Like over online, it's just not the same.
I hear that. Have you been to man, now I can't remember the name of it. The chess cafe place where people play Blitz and talk trash and it goes on YouTube.
Coffee chess,
yes.
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. How do you do there? I am not good enough to play with those people. Like they just crush me. So
I mean, it depends. Like, I mean, I'm like 1600 USCF, and there's a solid amount of people who are around the same level or a little bit lower. But obviously you have, it's very, very high level there. I like going there. I mean, it's like very, it's a lot more intense, and I think people are a lot more competitive. Whereas like there's one in downtown LA on Sundays that I love. And it's just like, it's nice. You could literally just go for like 6 hours and play. Like there's a bunch of people who are like my same rating. That's really fun to go to.
Okay, I'll have to try that. Because the problem for me with coffee chess is that like my USCF rating is around, it's not 1800, but it's close. But I'm way worse at Blitz. And so like I make embarrassing moves where I'm like, I have a wonderful position, and they make a terrible blunder, and then they'll be like, I don't understand what happened there. You were playing so well. And I'm like, I know. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, that's the hard part about rating. Like, I mean, the rating aspect has been like a little bit frustrating for me, like in recent times, just because like I was 1500 as a kid. Right. And then like you know, I started playing and I was like quickly over, I was like over 1600, and then I like tanked a lot, and then like I've been playing so much chess for like 2.5, almost 3 years, and I'm like, when is it gonna just, you know, I know like I'll just keep playing and then at some point like something will click. But I'm at this like weird, yeah, I'm at this like, what's it called? I'm
Plateau.
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Wouldn't like to think of it as a plateau.
A temporary spot.
Yeah, I think that rating is super yeah, it's, you know, it seems very objective. Like, oh, you win, you go up, you lose, you go down,
oh,
but it's like a 1600, you like someone with 1600, multiple people 1600, like it's just completely, it could be completely different.
Yeah. Level. I feel like once you get over like 2600, it's very objective. But at 1600, it's not objective at all, right? There are so many factors that can go into it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they played an opening I don't know, I lost. You know, I played a kid who's 900 points underrated, I lost. There's just so many factors.
Yeah. And I feel like I have a much better understanding of chess now than I did like a year ago versus 2 years ago. But there are clearly some parts of my game that are very weak that, you know, you just need that one part to lose and not like cross that. So if I can get to like 1700 this year, I mean, that's what I said last year, but I try not to focus on the rating too much.
Okay. I was just about to ask you that. Do you feel like you have ratings goals or more like learning goals? How do you measure sort of your progress in chess?
I don't like to have rating goals just because I think it like gives me the wrong mindset. Like I shouldn't be playing for the rating. It's just like it should always just come from like a love for the game. And I know that, like, you know, just like, yeah, and like obviously there'll be time, like I want to study chess every day, and then, you know, sometimes I'm not feeling it and I should anyways. But yeah, I know that, you know, you just keep doing it for the love of it and you're gonna go up. And you don't really ever, I don't think anyone really gets to choose when. I mean, you can't, like, you know, if you study a lot, but yeah, it kind of like falls into place in its own time. And I think that it's good to just let that happen rather than like, maybe this will be the tournament I cross whatever, and then when you don't, you just, it's like not worth it to me.
I hear you. I have had I quit chess over that at one point. I played a really great tournament, and it looked like it was my time, and like I was gonna make a move. I got to like 1700, and I had beaten an FM in that tournament, and my only loss was to an IM, and I was like, I got this. And then in my next tournament, I did terrible. And I quit chess for 20 years. I was like, you know what? Forget it. Forget it. I was supposed to be 1800 by now.
Yeah. It definitely tumbles you, teaches you how to lose.
Yes, that it definitely does. Okay, well, let's talk about why you came back to chess. We haven't done this yet. So you played as a kid, stuff happens, life happens, you ditch chess for a while, you get this chess job that sort of starts luring you back. And then what brings you back in?
I don't know. I haven't really thought too much about that. I just kind of, I think it was like a lot of being in the right place at the right time. And also just like realizing how much I loved playing chess and how I just like wanted to play all the time and like never got. Yeah, it was just something that I really loved. So like, getting the exposure to it again, like really showed that to me. I think that, because like most of what I've done is over the board. And I think just like meeting the right people at the right time who showed me this whole world of chess that I didn't really know anything about, that like really brought me into it. Whereas like if I had just started playing online, I definitely wouldn't be where I am now in terms of chess. Just like meeting the right people and going to the right events where there's like a lot of other people who play chess, and then so it's definitely like the in-person aspect brought me back.
Did you start by going to like the college chess club?
It was like the summer before. I just like had a friend who was in the same boat as me, who played chess growing up, and then we just like met through mutual friend. We were like in a friend group.
Oh, that's cool.
the idea came up of like, oh, there's like a tournament or something. So like, why don't we just go? And then we went, and then, you know, it was like coffee chess was there, and I like hadn't played in forever, and they were like, oh, you're a girl, let's put you on the show. And then so then they had me play like Boston Mike or something, and I hadn't
Yeah.
played chess in forever, and I was like, okay. And then they posted it, and it got like, I think it has like 600,000 views or something,
Oh my
which
goodness.
I'm not really sure because like the game wasn't very good in my opinion. It like was just kind of like a whatever game, but I
Yeah.
was like, okay. Yeah, so I didn't actually play in that tournament. I just kind of went to like see what was going on from like
Oh,
a
okay.
adult perspective, and then yeah, and then we met some people, and then we were like, oh, why don't we go to this tournament? And then I started getting back into it that way.
Okay, that's cool. I thought you were like, I hadn't really played chess, and then I just went to a big tournament. I'm
Oh
like, what the?
I went to just like see what it was like. I didn't play. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And it was it like one of the local LA tournaments?
Yeah, it was like one of the main like Irvine ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Perhaps the one that's coming up this weekend, the Western Class
Yeah.
Championships.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
Will you
was
be at
one
that one?
exactly like that. I think it was at the same location, actually.
Okay. Yeah, there's a bunch of them that happened on there. Are
Yeah.
you going to be at the Western Class Championships?
I was really planning on going. It looks like there's some like personal issues that are gonna stop me from going. But yeah, I was planning on it. So, well, I'm gonna see if I can make it work, but it's probably like a last minute thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've had this one on the books for a while. I'm hoping no last minute things pop up. When you have a
Yeah.
family, you just always
You
know that
never
tournament
know.
might not happen for you.
Right.
It just might not. Okay, but I'm excited to play in it. Okay, so you go to a tournament, you don't play. You get to play Boston Mike though, which is always fun. He talks some serious trash to you, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, he didn't say anything for the first couple minutes, and then someone
What?
was like, why aren't you talking trash? And then the rest of the time he was like talking trash. So yeah, he was talking trash.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So, and this that like the environment, did that bring you back to like the memories of being a kid playing in these tournaments? You're like, "Oh, I want to do this again." Or did it just as an adult look cool and fun?
Yeah, it didn't really, I mean, both, I guess. I had really great childhood memories playing in tournaments, but it
Nice.
was a very new experience as an adult, obviously. So,
Okay.
yeah, both.
So, when did you play your first over-the-board tournament then as an adult? Like, how long were you back in the chess world?
Think pretty soon after, I think, like, yeah, like around when I started my freshman year of college, so like fall of 2021.
Okay. And how'd it go when you came back? Was it like a rough start, or did you just jump right back and do fine?
It depends on what you define as a rough start. I mean, like, you know, I like dropped down to the 1400s for a little bit.
Okay.
But that, yeah, I think the first tournament was okay. I don't know. I mean, they were like, it was clear that like I had some previous something, but there were like a lot of major, like glaring issues, in my
Okay.
chess playing.
And were you able to identify them and work on them, or was it just kind of like, ooh, I've got a lot of work to do just generally?
Identify them kind of. And I mean, like, for example, like a big one was like I had really terrible time management.
Oh,
And
okay.
now like my time management's like still like not like I'm usually the one with less time. But I've gotten better at it, but it took like it wasn't like oh, I'll just move faster. Like I still kept having that problem. Yeah, I don't know. I think chess is so hard because like I mean obviously so many reasons, but like a lot of the ways that you need to improve, like it's you can't really verbalize it. So like you know like positional things where you just kind of have to like know or see the pattern enough to like understand it on like an unconscious level where you can't really you know so yeah, I mean it wasn't as easy as like oh, I need to work on like this part of the opening, and then it just like happened. But I could tell that they were like glaring issues. So yeah, I could identify them kind of, but they weren't really fixed right away.
Gotcha. Can you give us some secrets and how to get better at time management? Because I think a lot of people who struggle with it they just can't fix it no matter what they do. So it sounds like you've made some progress. Give us the secrets. What have you done?
I think there was like a turning point. It was more recent than I would have liked. But I was like, you know, just so solid in the opening. And I just had like a completely winning position, but I was just down like 40 minutes, 50 minutes. And then I just like, I lost because of time. Obviously, like the things got more complicated. It wasn't like I was like in a winning position.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I had like a talk with one of my friends who's like 2100. And he's like the most important thing for you, like for the rest of it. He's like, you're playing so like, he was like, you could have made all of those moves in like 1/5 of the time that you did. You know, for a while I thought that it was like, you know, I wasn't confident enough in my moves that I had to like, you know, triple check everything, make sure I wasn't blundering. But it was just as simple as like the number one most important thing that I need to focus on was just like keeping time with my opponent. So like don't drop more than like 5 minutes mm-hmm. on them. And like if that's happening, just make the move. And then, you know, if I start blundering a lot, then that's a separate issue. But he's like, you're not going to start blundering more. You're just going to realize that you knew what the right move was all along, and you're just taking extra time, like overthinking it. So yeah, the biggest thing for me was just like making it a priority to stay even on the clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like you were just kind of allowing yourself the grace to, if you do end up making a mistake because you're trying to be responsible with your time, then that's okay. And if you do, yeah, then you can address it then,
yeah,
by really making it a focus.
Yeah. So then, of course, like I kept even the clock, and then I, you know, had time in the end game. And so I won, like,
yeah,
like I did really well that tournament for the rest of the games.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's Axel Smith in Pump Up Your Rating has a really great chapter that talks about kind of the same ideas, right? That he's talking about like time trouble, like for people who get in time trouble, we often are like, it's okay. Like you're playing responsibly. You're taking your time. And then we judge people that play really fast. And he's like, if you can play fast and not blunder, that's just better. Right. Yeah. Like we should do that. We shouldn't judge people badly for doing that. They're being smart with their time. So it sounds like you have made that a priority, and results, positive results. Ooh, that's always nice. Okay. So what have you been doing to improve the rest of your game? Like, what does your study routine look like? It sounds like you do like to study.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed over time. So like you asked me this at like different periods, you would get different answers.
Okay, let's start with when you first started studying. Where did you start?
Okay. I did think, I mean, yeah, I didn't really know what to do. I eventually, like, okay, I guess I will hop around a little bit. I eventually, like, this summer, I was like, I never, like, gotten a coach or anything. So I was like, maybe it's worth it. So I took private lessons for, I mean, I might pick it up again, but, like, yeah, the past, like June to December, I would take, like, private lessons, and that was really helpful. Yeah, just, like, you know, tailored opening repertoire and like, you know, just stuff that I would, you know, it would take me like, you know, there's so much chess information on the internet. For example, it's like, how do I know which openings to play, or like which lines, or like what's, you know, what to use and what not to use. And like having a coach to like consolidate that and like knowing my style of playing was like really helpful. But before that, I like got some, like, you know, there's like Silman's Endgame Manual, and there was like another positional one, and I just like wasn't at the place where like I could solve positional puzzles. Like there were a lot more basic things that I need to check off first, and I kind of like tried skipping all those and just like doing the positional book, and it wasn't really helpful because like a lot of the basics were missing. And then you know, obviously I would do puzzles. People would say I need to do puzzle rush because like I was so slow. And then blitz, like, you know, hanging things. You know, I was the same as you, like I was much better with slow. I mean, I think even now I'm much better, like classical, like the longer time control, the better. But I would just like hang things a lot. in Blitz and get low on time. So like, you know, just like Puzzle Rush, like try to do Bullet to like improve. I don't know. There's a lot of things I've heard about Bullet. Like apparently in my rating, if I'm playing Bullet, it's bad. Or like, I don't know. Bullet's fun, especially on stream. Bullet's fun. I feel like it's
Yeah.
fun to watch.
Okay. And it's
And it's
useful for
kind of,
beating little kids too.
oh yeah. So yeah, books. But then, you know, I found out about Chessable and then I stopped. I mean, books, like it's hard. I always say I'm gonna read a book. And it feels nice, like getting a book. You're like, yeah, like I'm doing something. Like I'm a scholar or whatever. And then it just sits there in dust until, yeah. So, you know, I like eventually got some like proper Chessable courses, and like I would actually do those because like whenever I have a free sec, I'm just like on Chessable on my phone or like, you know.
Yeah. What kind of
Yeah. So
courses did you like on Chess Bowl? Was it mostly like opening stuff or like middle game stuff?
I got an opening course. I played the Alpin, so I got an Alpin course, and then like an end game course, and then like also just like made my own Chessable course for like all of my opening repertoire, like any lines I want to add. So now I can just like, you know, whenever I have a free sec, I just like review, and then it's like test me on that, based on mine. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. Are you playing really sharp openings that it's critical that you know like every move?
Not really, but it's nice, like, you know, learning main ideas that can be applicable in a bunch of scenarios is definitely something I needed.
That's cool. And so you said one of the things you got a coach for was to help craft a repertoire. So did you have like a repertoire, but you weren't that confident with it? And like when you would lose, you'd think like, maybe I should change it. All right, how did your repertoire work before, coach?
My repertoire is basically like, I have no openings. What should I play? Anyone says a name, and that's the opening that I heard. Like they're like, oh, learn this. And I was like, oh, what's that? They're like, this, and then I start playing it. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it stayed pretty similar actually. But yeah, I mean it like I knew the moves, I guess, but like I didn't really understand it on like the next level.
I know the moves, but I don't know the plan. So when
The
I
main
run out of moves,
ideas.
I just look at a board and go, I don't know. What do I do now?
Right. So it's like as soon as someone plays something you haven't seen, you're like, oh, then I don't know.
Yep. We're back to scratch now. Okay.
Yeah.
And now I'm in time trouble because I had to figure out all of this over the board.
Yeah. Then I just sit there for 15 minutes and then I just play like the first move that came to my mind 15 minutes ago. So.
Sounds good. You know what I didn't hear much of yet is like YouTube videos. Did you dive into the Gotham chess scene or anything like that?
Only since I started Twitch, like I didn't really go on. I wasn't like a online. I mean, I just like wasn't an online person in general when it came to chess. But you know, I've watched my fair share of Gotham and Hikaru and Eric Rosen, and all of them. And obviously, like the more I play chess, the more admiration I have for them. It's like, how are you so good? I just figured, yeah, I figured I'd give a shot. And there's also, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to say about the whole Twitch thing. Also, like being a girl in chess, it's like a very different experience. I'm just like waiting for the day that I have like a female chess friend in LA who I can like go to tournaments with, who's like just as into it as me, because you know, all of that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, that feels like a challenge. Like when I look around the playing hall, I'm often tempted to be like, oh, there's quite a few females here. But then when I really think about it, it's like a lot of them are kids and there aren't that many adult
Yeah, they
females there that.
usually, yeah. I mean, at the chess club at school, like I'm the only one.
Oh,
And
really?
usually, I mean, most places I've been, I'm the only one. So when I see other girl, I'm like, yeah, hey. Yeah. And then, you know, like it's a little like for Twitch, it's like a little bit weird knowing, because I'm like 1600. I'm like, you know, good for like a random person, but like for in the chess world, it's like I'm like pretty average. And like I wouldn't have the viewership that I have if I wasn't a girl. And that like feels kind of weird, you know? But you know, there's pros and cons to being a girl in chess, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very different social world than anywhere else that I am in my life. Like, yeah.
Okay. I will say this. Whatever gender you are in chess, I feel like as a streamer, in order to get a following, you need to be entertaining. So I think you should acknowledge that if you're getting a good following, then you are entertaining.
I try. I try. I don't know if it's successful, or I don't know. I hope it can be more successful.
Do you have any goals for streaming? Is there like some number of followers or viewers you're looking for? Or are you just doing it because, you know, you just like streaming and it's something in your life now?
I mean, again, I don't like to like have number goals, like just in my life in general. So whatever happens with it happens. I mean, I'm shocked already, like, by the following that I have now, just like how quickly it grew. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I don't know anything about Twitch, or I didn't know anything about Twitch going into it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, my chess is, I've played a lot more online chess, and it's, I mean, at the end of the day, what made me do it is like, you know, I love playing chess. Like, I want to play more online chess anyways. Like, I do play online chess. Like, I might as well stream it at the same time. And because it's like fun anyways. And then, you know, just say absolute gibberish and the first thing that comes to my mind. So yeah, I mean, wherever it takes, I mean, I think it's cool. Like, you know, I wouldn't be here, for example, if I wasn't on Twitch. So I think like putting yourself out there and then like giving yourself the visibility, like in case of like, you know, more opportunities, or like, you never know who will reach out and like we can start something. That's definitely a pro that's been on my mind in terms of Twitch too.
Yeah, that is cool. It's funny because especially after you beat my friend, I'm always looking to have more women on the show, just because, you know, there's not as many women in chess. And I was like, ooh, I should try to get her on the show. But it feels so weird to be like, hi, random person. Like, I have a really hard time sort of connecting with potential guests at tournaments because I feel weird about just like randomly going up to people. So I was tempted to, and I was like, I don't know, this might be weird, I'm not going to. And then when I just randomly saw you were on Twitch, and I was like, wait, I know that person.
I saw her at the tournament.
I bet she would be a great guest. So So definitely putting yourself out there worked. I will say for myself, I also like to stream just for fun. Like, I'll stream, especially when I do calculation work. And my following is very small. Well, like 6 people will do calculation puzzles together. And I have a good time doing it. So I'm perfectly happy with that.
No, it's great when people are in the chat, you know, and like it's helpful too sometimes. Or it's just like fun. But yeah, I mean, like I filled out the chess.com streamer application and they accepted me. And then that was, I mean, usually I had like, you know, around like 20 viewer, like average 20, 30, which was already like, I was very happy with that. Yeah, and then, you know, all of a sudden when you, I guess when you're on the chess.com homepage, I didn't realize, but like all of the like idle people who are just on chess.com homepage counts as a viewer. So it jumped. I mean, yeah, it just jumped from like, like, you know, a cup like 20, 30 to like 300, 400 average viewers. And sometimes it reached like 2000 like max. And I'm like, what's going on? But it was like, even though the numbers jumped, it was exactly the same experience, like in terms of the amount of engagement, like there were still the same amount of people in the chat. So I just, and I was just confused, like, how did it jump? So I think it's just like, So it's cool that chess.com does that. And there's like, more exposure in that way, but the experience has been the same like before and after, I guess.
Okay, cool. And in my short experience with your stream, I noticed you enjoy communicating with the people who are there with you and hanging out with you, and you know, having a good time with them, so that's cool.
Yeah, I'll always read the chat. I mean, I maybe it'll come to a point where there's like too much in the chat, but I guess it's a good problem to have.
Okay. What does your study plan look like these days? Are there any books you're working on? Any chessable courses you're working on? What's your focus these days?
Well, I need to find the name of it, but there was something that Chessable posted on Instagram, and it was just like this like curated puzzle package. And it's like 50 days of puzzles and like 10 puzzles a day. And they're from like actual like top games, whether it's like Blitz or Classical or whatever. And they're for like 1400 to 1700. And they're not like the ones that will take you like 10 plus minutes. Like it'll take you like maybe a couple of minutes per just to get in the practice of like every day. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And it's cool because they add a little blurb too. So it'd be like, you know, Carlson versus, you know, whoever. And then it's cool that you can see the players. And then I have Dvoretsky's end game manual, which might be slightly out of my, like very what? Much out of my. So, you know, I've had that one for a while. And it started like the whole, I just, like there was a whole chapter with like the king and pawn, and then I remember I would like study that a lot, and then I would still like have no idea what was going on. Like they would show like it was just like different variations of like king and pawn, and they're like, no, there's like, you know, that I mean I could and then I would try doing the puzzles after like I had been looking at it for like 20 minutes and I'm like, okay, I understand this concept, but like why does this go, you know? And then I would like look at it again and I'd be like, okay, I still so maybe I need to go back a little bit, but I think I'm starting to pick it up, because I think a big thing, especially with online, or I guess now it's like especially if I have like students who got super into chess through Gotham or online, they have, you know, solid openings, but the end games, their end games are really bad. And I know that a lot of traditional ways of learning chess is starting with the end games, and that was definitely not the case for me. So I know end games are definitely my weakest point.
Wow. Yeah. You're like, man, my end games need work. What should I do? I know. I'll get Dvoretsky's end game manual for Grandmasters.
Is it for Grandmasters? I don't know. It said online that it was like, I think it said like 1600, 1700 and up or something. That's what it said on Chessable. I mean, I can, And it definitely didn't say for Grandmasters.
That feels like they're luring you.
Maybe. But it said it like could, it was starting like a little bit around my age level or rating level. So that's why I was like, oh, it's okay. But if it said it was Grandmasters, I would have never, I mean.
Well, that's impressive. I mean, that's just, it's just one of those books that a lot of people say like over 2000 is when you like start even thinking like, ooh, maybe that's my book now. But you know what?
Yeah, I didn't get the memo on that. Nobody told me that.
Your end game play is going to be really good. That's what we're looking at.
I mean, if I can bridge the gap. I have Silman's too, but it's like a physical book. And the physical book is like, I just have given up on physical. Like I'll never get around to it if it's a physical book.
Yeah, I will say this. The end game, Selman's is on Chessable now.
Yeah, I know, but I already bought the book, so it's like,
you can't buy it again.
If I buy it, then it's like, I can't sunk cost, you know?
I know, it's like, tough. It's tough to buy it again. I got a question for you. I heard from someone that you are a college student.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't college students have to study from books?
Actually, in this day and age, I mean, I don't have any, all my textbooks are online.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And also, I mean, there are even some like interactive stuff, which is like Chessable. So, boom.
Because I taught at UCLA as recently as about 7 years ago, and I made my students buy actual books. I don't know if they did.
Everyone just finds them for free online.
I put it on the syllabus, and they were like, cool, guy, I'm not buying that. I'm just going to go find it online.
Yeah, or like you have someone who has a PDF who shares it with everyone.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so the books are online anyway, so we are not using physical books. Okay, that's okay. That's all right, I guess.
Some people still do, but I'm always like, I don't know where I'm going to be studying. Usually I'm not like where my books are, so I'm not going to lug around Silman's Endgame manual.
Yeah, it's a big book,
to
right?
Cafe
Okay. So you said then recently you got a coach and your coach helped you with your repertoire. I'm curious though, what made you think like, you know what? I need a coach now. Was it that you weren't like making all the rating progress you wanted? Did you just suddenly start feeling really overwhelmed the deeper you got like all the potential resources and it was just too much to try to sift through? Like what made you think I need a coach now?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess I was like a bit frustrated. And I was just looking for something else that I could do to help improve my chess. And I tried some other stuff, and you know, I talked to someone about it, and I was like, I don't know if it's worth it, because it's like, you know, money.
Yeah.
And then yeah, I was like thinking like if it was worth it. And then I had a conversation that like pushed me over the edge, and just like convinced me that was a good idea. But I was definitely looking for like new ways to improve. And then that came up, and then I was like, okay, I should do this. And it was actually my coach from elementary school. So like I took a couple private lessons like in elementary school, and then I like hit him up. He's like an IM, and I hit him up again, and I was like, hey.
That's cool.
So that was cool. And then he like remembered things about my chess. You know, I don't remember how I played at all when I was younger. But he does, which is kind of cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
I would be like, can you please write them all down for me? I really want this like memorialized to some degree.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, like you'd play like this. Like this is your style.
And I was wow.
It was? Like I didn't, you know.
Does your current style match your childhood style, or have you somehow changed over time?
I'm not sure. That's probably something you have to ask him.
Okay.
Probably pretty more similar than different, though, I would say. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And so you found the coach to be useful, but then just since January or whatever, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably pick it back up again. It's just like, a lot of readjusting. Certain things of there've been like just readjusting to life back here. So I've taken a slight break since the new year in terms of like studying classical chess, but I've still been streaming. Hopefully we'll get back into it soon once
streaming
settles down.
Playing over the board at the million places to play in LA. Which by the way, I will definitely be sending you a message at some point asking about these million places to play in LA, because I can't find that many places to play in LA.
Oh my gosh, I have a lot. Yeah, there would just like be Instagrams. I can send you like, like five different Instagrams that have places like weekly.
I'm super old and I don't have Instagram.
See, that's your issue.
Now, if I get Instagram and I can find more chess, then you know what? Maybe I'll be the old guy with Instagram. Yeah. I've been thinking about starting the Chess Journeys Instagram page. So maybe that's
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, I started a chess Instagram when I got Twitch, just to like keep everything separate. And then, you know, it was only chess stuff. And then, you know, I'll be like on the like For You page or like the real page. And the chess content has gotten so good. Like there's a lot of really funny stuff on there. Where it's like almost better than like what I see in my regular stuff. Like I'll just like scroll through the chess like memes and the chess like reels and stuff, and I'm like, this is like really funny.
So chess life is better than real life, you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I'm very curious to hear. You said you're in cognitive science, and I feel like there's so much attention being paid, especially for adults who are trying to get better, and like, how does cognitive science help us understand what an adult can achieve in chess? Have you used your studies at all to try to explore that, or are these totally separate things for you?
Not like directly in school. Like I would love if there was any sort of research happening surrounding chess, like I knew about it, I would like be like, can I please join that? But you know, like whenever there's like a more open-ended project research wise, like I always go to like the chess research. Because I think it's really cool. I mean, someone asked me the other day, they were like, why are there, because you know, like in Vegas, right, it's like the younger your opponent is, the more terrified you are, at least for me. If I'm playing a 7-year-old, I'm like terrified. It's like they're like, why, you know, he was like, why can like kids at such a young age get so good at the game so fast? And I was like, you know what, I was like, I don't really have a solid answer for you, but like I would love to, you know, like with it, you know, that's like literally like right in my major and what I'm studying. So
I know this answer, find it out for
there
us.
um Yeah, so I haven't done like research in chess with cognitive science where I could be like, oh, this is like some stuff, but I've definitely read a bunch of like it's much more interesting for me to read like research that involves cognitive science in chess than like anything else. I'm kind of like it's like a chore, but with chess it's not a chore.
Yeah. Have you read the book like Make It Stick or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No, I
You
haven't.
might like that one. I don't know if it's technical enough for you, but it's pretty good. It's like taking a lot of the research from the last 10, 15 years and kind of putting it together to try to come up with some bigger conclusions.
Okay, make it stick. Yeah.
Okay, so that sounds interesting. So you are trying to like when you get a bigger project, exploring some chess stuff, trying to figure
Yeah.
some stuff out. Yeah, my students are always asking me these questions like, how come kids are so much better than you at chess? I don't understand. You have a PhD. Shouldn't you be better? And I'm like, that's not how it works. That is, I do not have a PhD in chess. And I'm old and my brain is now like calcified and broken, apparently. And I'm just trying to like
Oh.
break through the crust and jam some things in there.
Yeah, it's like, why is it that when you start as an adult, it's so much harder? You know, even if you have like time on your side, you play for 20 years, it's like not the same as when you're like
Yeah,
five.
it is so amazing. Like when I play against a kid that cannot reach the board and needs assistance, whether that be like a phone book or a booster seat, I'm like, oh man, when I lose to
Yeah.
this kid, it's gonna be really bad.
Yeah. No, in Vegas, like I was just like sitting down and this girl who's like literally not even up to my waist just like walks over and has this like massive pillow that she puts in order to just sit on the, and I was like, why? I was like, how is this possible? Because then like I teach kids too, and it's like even with private lessons, I mean especially with group, but it's like a lot of times it's like a whole task in itself just to like keep them engaged in chess in the first place. And like obviously my students are very introductory, so I'm like, how do you get a kid to like that level so fast when it's like so hard for me to even keep them engaged, where they're like, I want to do something else, like I'm bored, like you know.
Yeah, you're not
So
teaching that kid.
I need a day in the life, like behind the scenes of like a 2300 like 8-year-old.
Yeah, how did you get there? Is it, I always wonder, is it them or is it their parent is like a really scary parent? And you're like, okay, all right, I'm just gonna do whatever you say, parent. Or is it really that kid is just that motivated and that focused? I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder what it takes to be that good at that young.
Yeah. Because
It's
I feel
like,
like with my own child, if I decided to take on like super scary chess parent, my child would be way better at chess. Now, they might hate chess and me, but they would have a higher number attached to their name.
yeah. I mean, I had like, yeah, because I mean, I don't talk too much to the kids, like at UC in Vegas. But I did talk to this one kid who I think is like, he like won like I think in the country for his age group. In I think like late elementary school, this was early middle school, like 2300 or something. And then he was telling me about his dad, and his dad was like, you know, like there was like almost like punishments if you lose kind of thing. And they hit like the dad, basically like the dad's treatment of him would be determined by the quality, like the results, which you know, different parenting philosophies, that's a whole separate thing, and like what you your life philosophies are. But that's the only insight I've ever gotten in terms of like how kids get so good.
Yeah, my main insight is from a sixth grader who is 1900, and his parents are just like, whatever, you know, like this is your thing. And in fact, I'm not even going to let you do it as much as you want because you've got these instruments you're trying to learn and you need to do your math homework. And I'm just like, wait, what? I assumed this kid, like you made him play chess 12 hours a day. How is he so good?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very interesting. Well, Rachel, this has been quite a fun conversation to hear you as a 1500 sixth grader coming back to chess as an adult. It seems like you're really having a good time. Things seem to be going well for you. I wish you well on your journey.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you at some tournaments. I imagine I will.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I'll be there.
And if people want to watch your stream, what is your stream?
Oh yeah. My username is RichAngel225. I made it when I was like in sixth grade and I needed an Instagram username, and I never thought of anything since. And I have like a clip of me super young being like, "Welcome to RichAngel225 Awesome News." So I'm just waiting for like, if I ever start a YouTube channel, that'll be like my opening. But I just couldn't think of a better username. So that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great name. Okay. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. I look forward to seeing you at the next tournament. For those of you out there in listener land, I hope this is that week where you gain so many rating points, you don't even know what to do with them all. But if it's a regular week and you don't gain rating points, or you even lose rating points, I'm sorry to hear that. But come back next week. We'll have another guest for you, and hopefully we'll give you some more tips and wisdom. I'll see you next time, everybody. Goodbye.